from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Talking a ton of Kings today. I'm Kyle, he's James. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. D'Lo and KC coming up at noon, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock. I want to talk about the NFL briefly, if that's all right. Because we didn't get to talk at all. The playoff field got set over this past weekend. Yesterday, we talked all about the Kings' loss to the Pelicans, and we didn't get to what's going on in the NFL. The NFL postseason begins this weekend. The 49ers will not be taking part this weekend because they have a first-round bye. So I'm going to run through these games, and you just give me thumbs up, thumbs down on the game.
Okay.
We'll do, like, Friday we'll do, like, all picks and all that. But thumbs up, thumbs down. Browns at Texans. Yeah, it's a thumbs up for me.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up for me, too. I can't wait to see CJ Stroud against Joe Flacco.
Yeah, and like half my team was like Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz, like my fantasy team. Yep.
Okay. Dolphins at Chiefs is the second game on Saturday.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm thumbs down on that.
What?
I picked the Dolphins to go to the Super Bowl, so I'm very salty about this. My Dolphins, you know what? Mine and Jesse's Dolphins, our Dolphins,
okay,
are down bad. The vibes are terrible. Everybody's hurt. Their top three defensive ends are all out. Kansas City's offense is no fun to watch. This is not going to be, I don't think this is going to be like a defensive battle that you want to watch. I think it's going to be kind of a defensive battle because it's a rock fight. This is like expectations are so high because of the potential for this game.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's going to stink.
Okay.
I think it's going to be the worst game of the weekend.
I think the Dolphins are going to try to put on an offensive like show because they don't have a defense. And then I think it's going to be fun to see if Patrick Mahomes can like literally will a team to victory despite them having so many holes in their rotation. Like they are so bad at catching the football.
It's unbelievable.
Like
how bad they
are. They had over 30 drops on the season, right? Like
that's so many.
Like they are so bad.
Almost to a game is nuts.
That you're waiting and waiting and waiting to see if someone will step up. And like Rashee Rice has stepped up, and you know they still have Kelce, but like that's not going to get it done in the postseason.
I
like,
totally agree.
Can they find somebody to step up?
I hope the Dolphins figure it out. That would be super fun.
Yeah.
A Dolphins run, given all this adversity, would be great. And it's what I will be rooting for. I also picked the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl, by the way. Speaking of teams with bad vibes, we'll get to them in a second. The Steelers are at the Bills. That's the 10 a.m. Sunday kickoff. I think that might be one because TJ Watt is out, or very likely out. He had a grade 2 MCL sprain. if he does try and suit up and play, he's probably not going to be very effective. The Bills are a buzzsaw right now. The Steelers have to go to Buffalo. God bless Mike Tomlin. Heck of a coach.
Yep.
The fact they're 10-7 this year and in the playoffs is something of a miracle, but I don't think they're going to go to Buffalo and win. And this is going to be the playoff game that I kind of skip and say, like, yeah, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So that way I can justify, like, yeah, see, I didn't watch football all weekend. I can do stuff around the house. I can do chores. I can go run errands.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I have no desire to watch Steelers.
I don't want to watch that game at all. So I'm a huge thumbs down on that. The other games, same. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
That one is just like, I'm not going to waste my time.
Yeah. I'm a big thumbs down on that one. Packers at Cowboys is the 1:30 p.m. Sunday game.
Ooh-wee.
All the way in.
Yeah.
All the way in.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt Eberflus is such a better, not Matt Eberflus. Nope, he's definitely not. Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
Is a way better coach than Mike McCarthy. And that gives Green Bay a puncher's chance.
Dallas is going to win by 25.
That's 25. That's
25.
The Packers defense does stink, but.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's putting a lot of faith in Mike McCarthy. That's all. Rams at Lions, that's the Sunday night game. This is the game I'm most excited for.
Okay.
The Matthew Stafford, the Lions' first home playoff game in 30-plus years. Matthew Stafford returning to Detroit to play in that game against Detroit. Sean McVay against Dan Campbell. Jared Goff against the Rams. Like, their storylines out the wazoo. And I think there's going to be like a million points scored.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't trust either of these defenses.
I'm all in on this game, too. I've loved watching the evolution of the Lions. I think that they made some mistakes this offseason, and they could have, like, some continuity would have helped them, especially in their backfield.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like what they've done. I think that they're a fun team, and, you know, they're a good storyline, and they're a franchise a lot like the Kings that just have never been able to figure it out, and you would like to see good things happen for people like that.
Eagles at Buccaneers is the Monday night game.
Oh, yuck.
Like, yeah, I'll watch it for
Sunday
sure.
Sunday night or Monday?
Monday night.
Wow. There's a Monday night game in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's been for the last 2 years.
Wow.
They both stunk.
Oh.
I just have no interest. Like, the Monday night game, it could be Niners-Cowboys on the Monday night. It'd be like, ugh, fine.
Yeah.
Like, I guess.
What are we doing?
Nah, the Monday night slot stinks, but it's Eagles at Buccaneers. And
is that
I'm excited to watch Baker Mayfield.
You guys get less days of rest because you're no good and we're not happy that you're here. Like a kid's table deal.
Well, they get more days because they get the one extra day for the Monday.
Yeah.
And then my guess is they would play again Sunday. I don't think they'd make them go Monday to Saturday turnaround. That'd be nuts.
Not. Yeah.
But then they'll play again Sunday. So, I mean, yeah, they get one fewer day, but be better than a 4 or 5 seed, I guess.
That doesn't seem fair. And again, it feels like when you, like, have you ever gone to like a dinner at someone's house and they have a kids table, but they don't have enough seats at the main table for every adult. So like one adult has to go sit at the kids table.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that feels like. It feels like an adult at the kids table. Like, you're in the playoffs. Like, why do you have to play on Monday night when no one's going to be watching?
Well, okay. But Browns, Texans, and Dolphins, Chiefs all get one less day because they play on Saturday.
Okay.
And then a couple of the teams that play Sunday will probably play Saturday in the divisional round.
All right.
So like, it all comes out in the wash.
All right.
It's not that big of a deal. But overall, I agree with you that Monday slot stinks.
Yes.
Super wild card weekend. Like, nah, man, you're forcing a playoff game onto a Monday night. It's stupid. Like, it's wild card weekend, man. It's Saturday, Sunday. Load up. You could have 3 games Saturday, 3 games Sunday. You're wall to wall NFL all 3 days.
Yeah.
Both days for 3 games. Give me that.
I agree.
Give me that way over 2 Saturday, 3 Sunday. And then, oh, hey, by the way, Monday. Like, I'm busy. I got things going on once the week is happening.
I know.
I don't have time to just sit there and be like, yeah, I'm locked into to NFL playoffs.
Are we here? We're not here on Monday, right?
Correct.
We're not here on Monday.
No, it's MLK.
MLK. Yeah, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So.
All right, well, I'm going to be busy Tuesday morning, so I got stuff to do Monday night. Hey, don't.
We can mentally prepare all day long for that game.
Don't skewer my bit. damn it. So for the 49ers purposes, 49ers and Ravens, of course, have the first round bye. So the 49ers could play any of these four teams.
Oh?
Eagles, Buccaneers, Rams, or Packers. So if the Packers win, because the Niners are the one seed, so they play the lowest seed left.
Okay.
So if the Packers win, they're playing the Packers. Packers lose, Rams win, they're playing the Rams. If the Packers and Rams both lose, they play the winner of Eagles, Bucks.
Oh. Okay.
So.
I don't think.
That's how it goes.
I still don't think I want to face Philly out of all those teams that you just said.
Oh, really?
I think it's still Philly. I think Philly is still the one that can bite you. Like, I don't buy the Rams as a team that can beat you in the second round of the playoffs.
Oh, see, I do.
Okay.
I very much buy into what the Rams are doing.
Okay.
Especially because it's a division opponent. It'd be Cooper Kupp and Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't have Cooper Kupp in that week two matchup, and the Niners won that game. They were up 10, and then the Rams kicked the field goal late to make it 7 as time expired. But Kyren Williams had a huge game in that one. And and Matthew Stafford's playing at a really high level. The Rams are playing good football at the right time, unlike the Eagles, who are 1-5 in their last 6.
Oh, they're playing like horrible.
And the Eagles are 2. Out of those teams, the Eagles are 2 for me. They're behind the Rams, but they're ahead of both the Buccaneers and the Packers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, man, especially if Philly, if they get a win in Tampa Bay and they start to get rolling again, then they get a little scary for sure.
Okay.
I just want no smoke with the Rams right now.
Yeah, you seem to want to avoid the Rams.
I do.
It's okay.
You got to play them a third time. Now, granted, this last time they didn't really play.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to beat them a third time. That's different.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, boy. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Indeed. At the...
Indeed.
I was going to... I hate when I read a blog or a post online.
Yeah.
And somebody finishes it with, "We'll see," or "Only time will tell."
No.
Like, yep, that's how the clock works.
Yes. Like, it's science.
Yeah, we will see. Like, that's what we're doing. But I'm reading this to get your thoughts on it.
Like, no, like, we
what
won't.
What do you think is going to happen?
No, we won't. Yes.
But I guess.
We will see.
But will the 49ers draft player X?
We'll see. See.
Like, say whether they should or shouldn't, and then get out.
Yeah.
It's me being annoying. All right.
All right.
You have some possible tweaks the Kings could make to the rotation. I want to talk about them next. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Changes appear to be on the horizon for the Kings. Like, that's, I think, the big takeaway for me from the first 30-odd games, is whatever the makeup of the roster is now and whatever the rotation looks like now is not going to be what it looks like, or in my opinion, should not be what it looks like when the ball goes in the air for their first playoff game.
Okay.
I
would agree with you, Kyle. At this point, they're not good enough.
Yeah.
Like, to reach what they want to be and who they want to be, they aren't good enough, and they can't figure out how to get to take that next step.
Mm-hmm.
They can beat anybody, and they can lose to anybody. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
They have to have somebody else who's willing to stand up and say, "Hey, look, we're not getting, like, stomped on tonight. That's not what's happening tonight." Mm-hmm. And so many times this season has been Sabonis and Fox who stand up and say that,
yeah.
But then they're dragging a bunch of other dudes with them.
Yeah,
that can't be who they are the rest of the season.
Like, no, I totally agree. Their ceiling is super high, and that's great.
Yes,
like that is an objectively good thing, but their floor is also crazy low still.
They don't have an identity, Kyle.
Right, and that they don't. That's it. You don't know what team you're going to get on a night-in, night-out basis. And that's...
I'll tell you what your identity is right now. A bad defensive team that's completely inconsistent from one night to the next. That's what you... Like, you're still well above 500, but that's who you are today. Like, you gotta, you can't just magically like fix this with like a player, or like there has to be some adjustments here. It can't come like, it's not like internal improvement. That ship has sailed. When you lose 10 games by double digits, mm-hmm. out of your first 14 losses, mm-hmm. that tells me that there's like, there has to be changes. There are players there that shut off and don't continue to play, mm-hmm. and they need to not be there.
Yeah.
They need to, if you're going to be a championship contending team, they can't be there any longer, and you need to find a place for them to go.
I agree. So we've talked so much trade deadline, mm-hmm. but let's zoom into the Kings roster right now, because you put some notes down here that I want to flesh out with you and explore.
Okay. I'm in.
You write, does Mike Brown have some more tinkering to do? And I think that's kind of, okay, realistic right now, because who they trade for, who they could or should or will trade for, who knows? Okay. Maybe it's Alex Caruso. Maybe it's Zach LaVine. I don't think it will be. Maybe it's Kyle Kuzma. Maybe it's some guy we've never heard of for a future second-round pick. I don't know. Who knows?
Yep.
Right. But right now, with the roster that they have, like over these next, let's just take the next five games, this five-game road trip, mm-hmm. through Detroit, Charlotte, Philly, Milwaukee, and Phoenix.
Yes.
Yeah. What? I guess I'll let you take this here, because the trade, there's not going to be a trade that goes down, at least I don't think, that goes down today or tomorrow. Maybe there will be. But what can Mike Brown do with the players that are currently on his roster?
Yeah, I think for sure the Kings are looking to make a deal now and not later.
Yes. Right?
That they if they can get a trade done tomorrow, they will. Mm-hmm. They're not looking at February 9th as like the day that everything's going to happen. I mean, February 8th. They're looking at today, and they understand where their team is going, mm-hmm. and they want to get a deal done now, and they want to move forward, mm-hmm. because they want 50 games to get this thing rolling. Mm-hmm. They don't want the last 25 games of the season to be like coasting and trying to figure out what pieces you have. They want to make the changes now.
You don't want to be coasting Kufis.
Yeah. Oh, all right. That's my guy right there.
They love Costa.
That would totally my guy.
He's the best.
Okay, so my point would be like, look, you need to figure out who you're going to be and do it now if you're going to do it. But if not, even if that is what you're doing, like Mike Brown keeps tinkering, and I know some people don't like it, and I'm okay with what he's doing, because I think there came a point where we started to see Keon Ellis like fade off a little bit. And he went back to Davion Mitchell and gave him another shot. Now, I'm also going to say it is sort of magical that Davion Mitchell is mentioned in a bunch of trade rumors and that he starts playing again. That's not a coincidence at all. Not at all. But over the last six games, Davion's averaged 12.8 minutes a game, and he's averaging 3.8 points, 1.8 assists, and one rebound, and he's shooting 20% from three. If I'm tinkering, and Mike Brown's a tinkerer, and last year we saw this again, he started with Rashawn Holmes as his backup center. He went to Chimezie Metu. There was a point where Chimezie Metu got a little too big for his britches. He went to Alex Len. Like, he kept tinkering, right?
Mm-hmm. And we've seen him do that again this year.
This is where we're at again.
Yeah.
Like, he gave him six games. It's Keon Ellis just had a very impactful, in a blowout loss, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If Mike Brown is going to set that standard, then we're in a blowout loss, and you come onto the court and you play hard, he earned his spot back. Give him his spot back. And so that would be the first tinker that I think we can see. And I had someone in the chat say, what about the shooting guard position, right? The shooting guard position doesn't matter. Malik Monk is your shooting guard.
Got it. Okay.
Malik Monk is going to play 25 to 30 minutes a night the rest of the season. Malik Monk is your shooting guard.
Real quick, I don't think you have this here. So since you've brought it up, I'm going to mention this.
Yeah.
Malik needs to be playing 30-plus minutes a night, in my opinion.
He has to show that that's who he is too, though. Like, and that he can fit in for 30-plus minutes. Like, they do the Fox and Monk thing together. Mm-hmm. What I don't want to see, which I've seen a couple of times lately, is this weird moment where there's no Sabonis, no Fox, and no Monk on the court at the same time. That to me is like, hey, disaster is happening. What are we doing?
Can't happen.
No, and even when there's no Monk and no Fox, no, that can't happen. So again, I'm just going to say, like, my first tinker here would be, like, you really have to look at the Keon Ellis versus Damian Mitchell thing, right? The second one is Kevin Huerter versus Chris Duarte.
So again, the shooting guard.
The shooting guard, but we're talking about 18 minutes a game.
I know what you're, I 100% know what you're saying.
Right, and right now both of these guys are playing, but they've given Chris Duarte five games to do this. And in those five games, Chris Duarte, he had that one game that we all remember, 12.7 rebounds, right? He's averaging 6 points, 1.4 assists, 2.6 rebounds. He is shooting 41.7% from three, but seven of his rebounds came in one game. His next three games, zero rebounds. He has not gotten a rebound in the last three games. And at the same time, Huerter's coming off the bench. He's averaging 7 points, 1.6 assists, 2.4 rebounds. He did have the 17-point game, which skews his numbers a little bit. But he's only shooting 23.5 from three. We could see a situation where Kevin Huerter's back in the starting lineup, and it comes down to, like, again, somebody put it out on the internet that the Kings' starting lineup of Fox, Huerter, Murray, Barnes, and Sabonis is a top five starting lineup in the league. It's a top five-man rotation in the league. They're a plus 12.2 per 100 possessions on the season.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably where you need to go, unless Chris Duarte figures it out very quickly that he can. He's such a defensive stopper that you can't have him off the court.
Yeah.
And again, so for right now, like, if you're going to showcase Davion Mitchell a little bit, you might want to showcase Kevin Huerter can play. The last one is the Alex Len JaVale McGee. Like everyone knows, I don't love the idea of JaVale McGee. Like, a lot of it's a little crazy what happens with him on the court. But Alex Len is, he's a plus on the plus minus category, and 8 of 11 games this season. And the other three games, he's a combined negative 4.
Hmm.
He just helps you, like, maintain while Sabonis is out of the game.
He does a lot of the right stuff.
He does. And he doesn't do any of the wrong stuff outside of trying to tip out rebounds, which I don't understand why that happens. Like, just grab the ball. You're 7'1".
You hate the tip out rebound.
Well, it's because that's how you lost game 6 of the 2002.
Oh, boy.
That's how you lost. You lost on a tip out to Robert Horry.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you lost. Like, stop doing it. Like, it's like shell-shocked here. Like, I can't forget, Kyle. Just
Alex,
grab the rebound. You're 7 foot
be
tall.
Grinding O2 Vladdy film.
Grab the ball. Grab the ball. What is happening? Again.
You all right?
Yeah.
I feel like that really.
But see, these are rotational things that I think at the end of the day, like, you've seen what the other guys are, and these aren't going to make the difference between you winning, like, 60 games and 52 games, but these are things that will stabilize your team. And I get why you try different things, but at the end of the day, you have sample sizes. It's time to go back to the other things and see if you can find some like, sort of positivity.
I want to expand on this conversation next. We got to hit a break, but we'll be back in 2 minutes on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Having a great time hanging out. We'll be here till noon. Then D'Lo and KC will take over. Want to thank everybody for listening on the radio, on the free Odyssey app. Maybe you're watching on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com, good fade, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. If you're watching there, please hit the like button. Go ahead and subscribe to the channel while you're there and hit the notification bell. You will be notified every time we go live, which we do every single day at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320. So we're talking about Kings rotation stuff. And what changes can Mike Brown make? What tweaks can Mike Brown make to the rotation to help kind of stabilize his team and maybe get them on a path toward the consistency that I think they need, that we think they need, that honestly, everybody I know who watches and roots for the Kings thinks they need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If the postseason was today, who starts? We know who four of their five starters is. Are you starting Kevin Huerter? If they played a playoff game today,
probably.
You going with Kevin Huerter over Chris Duarte?
I mean, it depends on the matchup. I mean, I think it does. It also depends.
That's interesting.
If you found a way to get Kevin Huerter right, but I
no, he is. It's today.
Today. Oh, man.
It's right now.
That's tough.
Adam Silver said...
I'm probably starting Chris Duarte. But my leash is like super short because I'm turning to Malik Monk for most of the game.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I like what you said about it being matchup-based, though.
Yeah.
Like, depending on what the other team's throwing out at the perimeter or whatever.
Yeah.
Like it depends on the opponent. Okay.
Yeah, if the opponent is, say, like the Denver Nuggets and they have... you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope starting at the two.
Yeah.
I'm okay starting Chris Duarte. I'm okay starting Kevin Huerter in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't think you need the lockdown defender type. You need someone who's going to stay in the position and rotate and who might be able to hit three-point shots.
But you don't want to cross-match Duarte with Jamal Murray?
Maybe. Okay. Okay. I mean, you're probably right. That would probably make sense, but I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Malik Monk first off the bench, then Trey Lyles. Who else?
I mean, I got to be honest.
Huerter, like, or Duarte, whichever one's not starting?
Yeah, whichever one's not starting. And then I want Keon Ellis in the at the point guard spot, like alongside Malik Monk.
Okay.
I don't know. Like in a playoff series, you're probably dropping to an 8-man rotation.
Right.
So, like, Trey Lyles, Malik Monk, and then pepper in whatever that player is for, like, a couple of minutes.
It feels like that eighth player comes down to, hey, maybe against Denver, if it's Denver, it's Alex Len, right? Because you need just another body to throw it in Nikola Jokic.
Yep.
Or maybe if it's matchup-based, maybe then it's Keon Ellis, or maybe then it's Kevin Huerter because they need some shooting. They're down 10 or I don't.
Well, it's also situational. If you're playing a team and all of a sudden they start attacking the rim the entire time, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, I need Alex Len to step in and go there.
Right.
If it's a team that starts to go small or a team that you think that they have a couple of bigs that can't defend the perimeter at all, I'm going Trey Lyles. No question. I'm going to drag those guys away from the basket and make them make mistakes on the outside. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's totally situational based, but your core guys are Trey Lyles, and your two guys right now are Trey Lyles and, of course, Malik Monk. And that's why I've made the argument, too, that, like, look, if you were to make some sort of Kyle Kuzma trade that didn't include Harrison Barnes,
man,
that's where you're cooking, right? Because now I know I got three dudes off the bench that I know are going to play substantial minutes.
Yeah.
They're going to support my starters and they're going to be there.
And you can still, with Harrison off the bench, you can still plug and play and mix and match because he can, he can defend multiple spots. And
well, and Keegan Murray's ability to play multiple spots, that changes everything too. Because all of a sudden now, what if I do a Harrison Barnes, Kyle Kuzma, and Keegan Murray 2-3-4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With Monk or with Fox, with Sabonis, like that's crazy big. Even with Trey Lyles, all of a sudden I got a bunch of size with Trey Lyles, small ball center, but with three guys that are 6'8", 6'9". Okay.
The Kings right now, this is the other thing I'm fascinated to see in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings right now, they'd match up against the Clippers in the first round.
Ugh.
That's tough. That's a tough matchup.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see what they do with Keegan Murray defensively. Is it, hey, you're defending the other team's best perimeter player? Like 100%, that's just what it is?
Well, the Clippers are like one of the most, the biggest nightmare teams of all time because of that, what you're asking right there.
Sure. Let's just say it's OKC then.
Okay.
So let's say the Kings drop to 6 and OKC is number 3.
Okay.
Well, just for the sake of it. Are you throwing him on Shea? And you're just like, hey, Keegan Murray v. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and that's what it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm excited to see how he responds to that.
Yeah.
And whether he can do that and also be an effective player offensively.
I think he's trying to progress to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the one guy that you're going to, like, let off the hook right now for these games where, you know, a bunch of dudes don't show up, the one guy you're going to let off the hook is Keegan Murray. He's a second-year player. He's trying to figure it out. Like, how many rookie walls do you get? Mm-hmm. You get, like, 6 rookie walls. Maybe you get 3, right?
Sure.
But how many second-year walls do you get? I think people forget that this is not just, like, how am I, it's not just a steady climb straight to the top. Yeah. We're talking about a player who shows up every night, who plays 30-plus minutes a night, and who brings all kinds of like flexibility to your roster. You're going to have dips in production because he's young and he's still learning.
It feels more dramatic because of how good he was last year.
Yes.
And how good he was as a shooter, and the fact that he was just immediately a starter and a rotation player, and he was a starter for a playoff team, and he had a couple of really good playoff games. I think that set an expectation maybe a little higher than it should have been.
Well, it's not like
people are out on Keegan.
He hasn't been, like, he's averaging 15.4 points. He's averaging 5.5 rebounds. He's up to 1.2 steals per game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's showing you a lot of things. His 3-point percentage is up to 36.2. He's slowly climbing, and he's playing 33 minutes a game as a player who's young and you know, you're trying to, like,
yeah, he's doing everything a foundational piece needs to be doing.
Yeah, yeah. The next step is for him to consistently push that 15.4 to 17.5 or 18 points per game by the end of the season and show that that's where he's progressing to. And next year, he'll be a 20-point per game guy if that's where he gets to by the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely hope so. That's certainly the next step for him.
Yeah.
All right, before the handoff, when one of D'Lo or Casey, I think it's D'Lo's turn today, when one of them comes in, let's get to our keys to a Kings victory tonight against the Detroit Pistons. James, your first key for the Kings beating the 3-33 Pistons.
Don't give them hope. This is a bad team. Jump on them early.
So bad.
Put your thumb on top of their head. Like, push them into the ground. No Cade Cunningham. Like, this is a bad team. Do not give them a sliver of hope that they can stay in this game. Show them who you are right away. Get up 15. Turn the screws. By 20, up by halftime, up 20. make this a game that everyone knows is over early?
Typically, I would make jokes about, like, I would have, if this was last year's Kings team,
mm-hmm.
I would have done three kind of funny keys here.
Okay.
But because I've watched this team lose to Portland and to Charlotte, we have to take it a little more seriously. So mine is along the same lines as yours. Do not forget that these are NBA players.
Oh, yeah.
Cade Cunningham is out. Isaiah Stewart's out as well, right?
Yes, Isaiah Stewart is out for sure.
And then there was one more? I thought there was one more. Maybe there's not.
There might be one more.
Monty Morris.
So, oh, yeah, Monty Morris. Yep.
These are still NBA players, although, I mean, debatable with a couple guys on the Pistons. But still, they're a team who has won NBA games this year. They took Boston to OT in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Do not sleep on the Pistons.
Yeah, I fully agree. And
get up big, and then you can rest.
Trey Lyles is available tonight.
Good, that's something that
Trey Lyles is available after rolling his ankle the other night.
Okay. Number two.
Time for more changes in the rotation, ? Will Herter start? Will Ellis be back in the lineup? Sasha Vezenkov played with spirit and heart and pride in a bad game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time for these guys to get a look? And, you know, I don't know what the answer is, but if Mike Brown is going to tinker, the road is usually a good place to do it because you're all together. You're practicing a lot more. You're together a lot more. Like, this might be a moment. You need Keon Ellis's like young legs right now.
Yeah, no doubt. Try to win by 50. No, seriously.
Yeah.
And this goes along with what you were saying in your first key. Don't get up 20 and be like, oh, okay.
Yep.
Like, no. Get up 20, then get up 30. And once you're up 30, get up 40.
Okay.
Like this is an opportunity, not just like, hey, get a road win. Nah, man. If you're going to be a good, high caliber playoff team, then to me, you need to go in and you need to beat the hell out of somebody.
Yep.
Like smack a bad team around, man. Like I need to see it. I need to see it. And we haven't really seen that from them this year, so I would like to see it tonight.
Okay.
Number three.
Let Fox rest, which is kind of what you're saying. Get up by 50. You get up by 30. De'Aaron Fox doesn't need to play again.
Right.
He needs to go sit down and just like hang out and
right. Take the night off
and watch basketball.
sure.
He needs a break, and if the Kings don't understand that, then they're missing out here. He needs a break, and so his teammates, because De'Aaron's not going to want to take a break, his teammates need to give him that break by thumping somebody.
Yep.
And opening a door for him to go and sit and maybe play 20 minutes in a game.
Number three for me, very simple. Get good shots. Mm. The shots are going to be there. This is not a stalwart defensive team. I don't care if they're threes. I don't care if they're layups. I don't care if they're dunks. Every offensive possession needs to end in a good shot.
Yes.
That's it. I don't need people chucking threes or trying to do too much. Run your offense, get good looks, knock them down.
I'd like to see the Kings look more like the Kings.
Yeah.
Like, just go ahead and look like the Kings. That's fine.
Big time opportunity to do that tonight against the 3-33 Detroit Pistons.
Don't give them that fourth
win.
They're
so bad.
Yeah. I'm watching. They've got Draymond Green, who's...
My bad. That's my fault.
It's all right.
I'm sorry.
I waited. Who's skillfully explaining how Adam Silver talked him out of retirement, which is, of course, just such a beautiful story that people will tell their children for years to come.
Totally agree.
Yeah. But they replayed the slap heard around the world. And my goodness, that was brutal. Like, they just like...
Him, he smacked him in the mouth.
Him slapping Nurkic.
He could be telling the story about how he hid in his own house.
Oh.
And his daughter FaceTimed him. That was a hell of a curveball in his podcast.
No one
knew he was home except for his wife. And then his daughter FaceTimed him and said, "Daddy, you're in the man cave." And she ran downstairs and pulled him out.
Oh.
Wow. What did it? You know what? congratulations on such an inspirational foray into suspension. This is so great. I mean, the highs and the lows, you're really just seeing the depth of the human experience via Draymond Green punching a person in the mouth.
Yes.
What a incredible. Man.
Reminds me
what
when
a
I
story.
Was, when I was a small child, I was tiny. I was always very small.
Sure.
Like when I was a freshman, I was 5 foot tall, weighed like 95 pounds. I was like a little tiny.
You were small.
I got mad at my mom one time. I slid my bed away from the wall, like, you know, a couple inches, and I slid down behind and then covered myself with stuffed animals because I was mad at her. And then I fell asleep. So this is very much like Draymond, like still being in the house, but no one knowing where you are and everyone searching for me forever.
Did you also punch Yusuf Nurkic in the face?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. That would explain it. Yeah.
That is exactly what happened.
It's time for the handoff. D'Lo of D'Lo and KC is here. They'll be coming up at noon. Hey, is this Pistons team the worst sports team you've ever seen?
I mean, probably not, but they are pretty bad.
They're so bad, yeah, dude.
They're really bad, and I couldn't help. I admittedly walked in late. Were you talking about if the Kings get up by a lot to sit De'Aaron out?
Yes.
Yeah, that's adorable.
Dude, okay,
no,
that's
just adorable.
But that's the part of
you know
what
they won't.
Part of what led to that
it
was
it doesn't
like,
feel like it. No, it doesn't feel like that happens with them.
That's what I was saying is like if you're going this is the game to do it, man. Because I normally in our three keys section in a game like this, if this is last year's Kings, I would have made jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been like, key number one, you got to get to the arena.
Sure.
Just like sure. Wake up on time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of stuff. But dude, we've seen them in the last week lose to Portland.
Yep.
And to a shorthanded Charlotte team.
Yeah.
You can't. So I'm not taking anything.
A full-handed Charlotte team isn't very good.
They're still shorthanded.
You lost to a shorthanded Charlotte team, which makes it even worse. Yeah, there's strong Buddy Hield team vibes right now. Like we can't have that. Go get the job done. That was an unnecessary shot at Shavano.
It's usually me who takes those shots. What is happening?
That was nuts.
I should have saved it for after 12. I got plenty of shots to fire at him, given the way that Pacers-Celtics game ended. But
it'd be like that sometimes.
I am so surprised, or I shouldn't say surprised. I am so happy that Tyrese Halliburton's hamstring was only a grade one.
Yeah, his reaction, I thought it popped and rolled up his leg.
Right.
Like he did have a really concerning reaction. Like anytime an athlete like looks like a little confused, I get concerned.
Yes.
Like he immediately grabbed it and he's obviously in a ton of pain and he starts to kind of look around almost like, I don't know what's happening right now. So, and then getting carried off the floor. Now, it's funny. Like, bro, you was carried off the floor. You're out 2 weeks. Like, now it's funny.
At least nobody's trying to say he pooped himself.
Well, that was the dumbest thing that crew ever ran with. But, yeah, I'm glad he's okay because that was super, super concerning. And then, like, an hour later for Ja to be ruled out for the season. That
brutal.
Was a tough night in the association for sure.
Really brutal. It's interesting though with Memphis specifically. I didn't think they were going to be like a threat to Sacramento because they certainly weren't going to be in the playoff hunt. And if they made it, if they had to scratch and claw to get into, they would have had to be awesome just to get into the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
But even still, like, you know what? That's a team that is, you got to play them another time. They're potentially dangerous. All right, they're just out of the mix now. Like that's
you got to play them multiple times still, I think.
Like oh,
the
was
Kings?
It?
Yeah, they've only played them.
They
once,
only played them one time. Yeah, they didn't play. They didn't play Memphis without Ja Morant at all.
Yeah.
I think Will Z said there were only two teams that didn't. I can't remember who the other one was, but one of them was Sacramento.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Naturally, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course, that's how it goes.
You still got two games. You got one there and one back in Sacramento in March. So the Kings play Memphis on the 29th as part of that the next really long road trip.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they've got him back at home in March when, you know, that game, Memphis very well could just be like cashing it in at that point. And that's not a horrible thing for the Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you in on Kyle Kuzma?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I would caution people to not be, I wouldn't be 100% certain the Siakam stuff doesn't get revisited at some point. I think a lot of the I got a lot of messages last night regarding our show and some of the things that we were talking about, and I don't, strangely enough, I don't think these two teams are like super super far apart, And I also would caution Kings fans to not like be mad at Pascal Siakam for saying he's not going to re-sign in Sacramento. He's not signing anywhere. And I think the gist of this is, if you were like, Siakam hasn't asked for a trade. Like, he didn't tell Toronto he wants to leave. Like, Toronto's doing this on their own. And Siakam is like, Siakam is like, I'm not helping you. I'm not going to help you facilitate a deal I didn't ask for. If you want to trade me, trade me. That's your business. That's not mine. So it's not, he doesn't want to play in Sacramento. It's like, he's not signing anywhere. And he, not only is he not signing anywhere, he's not giving anyone any indication that he's going to sign with them.
Interesting.
The place he can make the most money is, in fact, Toronto.
Or it's wherever he gets traded to.
Well, it's that too, but he's not going to help facilitate that.
Right.
So if y'all want to, he's been clear, if you guys want to trade me, trade me. But I'm not helping you facilitate something I didn't ask for, because this is going to get turned around on me. You guys going to trade me? Trade me. I'll make my decision in the offseason when I'm contractually allowed to sign wherever I want to. If that's the team that I got traded to, be it Sacramento or somewhere else, fine. If it's a team that I didn't get traded to, fine. But I think there's a hang up with stuff like draft compensation. Like, I think teams, perhaps including Sacramento, is unwilling to give up a draft pick for a player that they might not have next year.
No,
and
totally.
I believe that's part of the hang up with Sacramento. I think that's going to be the hang up across the league.
We talked about this earlier.
Who's going to bite first, though, is the question. Sorry, Jane.
Mm-hmm. No, that's okay. The question is, did Pascal Siakam tell the Kings he won't sign there, or is he saying, I'm not committing to signing somewhere? And I think that that's probably more likely. He's not committing.
Right. He's not committing to anything. He's not he's certainly not signing an extension now.
No.
He's not doing any of that.
His extension now is like a 2-year deal. That's all you can do.
His thing is just, if you're gonna trade me, trade me.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. It's different. There's no Pascal Siakam list. There's no preferred destinations. There's none of that stuff. He's like, I didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
You guys are choosing to do this. Do it.
Yeah, and everything we heard,
I don't need to help you.
He went to them and said, hey, I would just take the extension now. And they said, no, we'll pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
so
how
it's
this
gotten,
thing's set
it
up.
Feels like it's gotten contentious with him and Masai Ujiri. That's tough to believe with how Masai operates. But I think that's, you have a bit of a,
yeah,
contentious relationship right now.
And players love to come to Sacramento. Once they're here, they don't want to come here. Once they come here, they're like, oh, this is not what I expected. This is way better than I thought. And the weather and everything else, it's way better. The team, the camaraderie, the foundation that they're building, the players that I'm playing with, how much fun we have on the court, all of those things.
Yeah.
Like, it changes very quickly.
And the thing with me is, like, as long as Malik's not a part of the deal and it's Harrison and you formulate whatever you want to after that, I do it.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I do it. It's a draft pick. I do it.
Yeah. I think I would too.
Yeah.
And I mean, you hope it works out, but if it doesn't, it doesn't. But I would try it. It's a huge risk, but it's not like Monty McNair hasn't taken a huge risk before, because he certainly has.
Yep.
That's Damian Barling. D'Lo and KC are next for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. See you tomorrow.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.